We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
You guys ever hear of the Silent Zone? Eric said when he first brought up the idea. Some old local rumor about part of the forest where no sound exists. The plan had started as another escape. Eric, Rachel, Megan, and I needed a break from the noise, the constant hum of the city, the stress of work, and the endless barrage of emails and notifications. We did this for years by going camping, always chasing that sense of freedom that only nature could offer. But this time, we wanted something different, something truly remote. Rachel rolled her eyes and leaned back in a chair. Sounds like a bunch of superstition, probably something to do with the acoustics or the natural sound barrier, her tone dripping with skepticism. Could be interesting. Might be nice to actually experience some real peace and quiet for once, I added, half joking, though part of me was intrigued. A truly silent area sounded perfect for that. Eric had found the spot while digging through obscure online hiking forums. It wasn't on any official maps, and that made it perfect. A remote patch of national forest far off the beaten path, where few hikers dare to venture. The main attraction, though, was the legend that came with it. That idea stuck with us. The silence, as eerie as it sounded, had a strange appeal. A break from the constant noise of modern life, exactly what we were after. The trip was set, and we were excited to disappear into the wilderness for the weekend. The drive out was long but familiar. Miles of winding roads led us deeper into the national forest, the trees growing denser as we left civilization behind. By the time we parked at the last trailhead, the car felt out of place in the thick woods. "This is where we head in," Eric said, pointing at a barely visible trail. It was faint, cutting through the brush, almost like it didn't want to be found. Rachel checked her phone one last time. No signal. "Well, here's to being completely off the grid." We packed up our gear and began hiking. The mood was light. We laughed and joked about how far off the map we were going, and Rachel, the resident skeptic, continued to mock the legend. "Maybe the silence will swallow us whole," she joked, grinning as she pushed through the brush. Eric led the way, moving confidently down the narrow path. The trail wasn't marked, but it was clear enough to follow. For the next few hours, the forest felt normal. The leaves rustled in the wind, birds chirped in the trees, and our boots crunched against the packed earth. Everything was peaceful, just what we'd hoped for. As the sun began to set, we decided to make camp for the night. At this point, we were miles from the nearest road, with nothing but wilderness stretching out around us. The air was crisp, and as Megan gathered wood for a fire, the familiar sounds of the forest played in the background. The soft wind through the branches, the occasional distant hoot of an owl, insects buzzing in the underbrush. But as we sat around the fire that night, the conversation slowed. and I noticed the first hint of unease. "You guys hear that?" I asked, my voice low. Rachel looked up. "What?" "It's quieter than it was before. The forest," I muttered. Eric paused, listening. The usual sounds of the forest, the rustling of leaves, the faint hum of insects, had grown distant. It wasn't gone, not completely, but it felt like the forest had dialed everything down. "We're probably just deeper in than we've been before," Eric said, shrugging it off. "This far out, it's normal for it to get quieter at night." Rachel nodded, but the tension lingered. The silence wasn't total, but it was there, creeping in around the edges. The next morning, the group packed up and continued deeper into the forest. We hiked for hours, the trail growing fainter, the trees closer together. The further we went, the more the quiet settled in. By midday, we were walking in near silence, save for the soft crunch of our boots and the occasional murmur of conversation. Megan stopped at one point, her face tightening. "Seriously, do you guys feel that? It's like the air's pressing down on us." I nodded slowly. The strange stillness, the way their voices seemed to fall flat. Eric, the ever steady one, waved them on. "We're getting close to the area I read about. Probably just the geography or something. It'll pass." But as we trekked further, the forest grew quieter still. The birds had stopped singing, the wind had died. Even our footsteps seemed to lose their sound, muffled by the dense, heavy air. By the time we reached the second campsite, the silence was more than just unsettling. It was palpable. No wind, no animals, just the oppressive weight of quiet closing in around us. "Okay," Rachel muttered as we set up camp, her voice barely more than a whisper. "Now it's getting weird." Eric gave her a tight smile, but he couldn't deny it anymore. Something was off. As we sat by the fire, staring into the void of the darkened trees, the silence swallowing the sounds of the crackling flames, it was as if the forest itself had absorbed everything. And beyond the glow of the fire, there was only silence. The morning started out like any other. We packed up camp, shook the night off, and got ready to hike deeper into the forest. I could feel the tension from the night before, but none of us mentioned it. Eric was his usual self, leading the way, talking about how great it was to be so far away from everything. Megan was right behind him, pretending she didn't notice the quiet pressing down on us with each step. Me? I was at the back, watching them walk ahead, trying to shake the feeling that something was off. At first, it was just like the day before. The usual forest sounds, birds, winds in the trees, leaves rustling underfoot. But as the morning dragged on, the sound seemed to fade. Not all at once, just little by little, until it was hard to tell if it was the forest that was getting quieter, or if my brain was playing tricks on me. By noon, it was impossible to ignore. The silence was thick, if that makes any sense. You could feel it pressing against your skin, your ears straining to pick up any noise at all. No birds, no wind, not even the rustle of leaves anymore. Just the soft crunch of our boots on the path. Except even that was fading. It was like the forest was swallowing everything. Megan spoke again, her voice sounding too loud in the dead air. "It's weird, right? like there's no sound at all. It's unsettling. Eric glanced back at her, trying to keep things light. You're letting the Silent Zone story get to you. It's just the woods. We're probably imagining it because we're thinking about it too much. But even he couldn't hide the unease creeping into his voice. I could feel it too. By the time we made camp that evening, the silence was impossible to deny. It was oppressive, like a weight on my chest, making it harder to breathe. We sat around a fire, but even the flames seemed quieter than they should have been. The crackling was there, but it was faint, muffled. The fire barely made a dent in the silence that surrounded us. Rachel was sitting across from me, her face lit up by the firelight. "This doesn't feel right," she said, her voice low. "I've been in quiet forests before, but this is too quiet." Eric smirked. "We found it, the Silent Zone. We should be proud of ourselves." Rachel didn't smile back. Neither did I. We didn't talk much after that. Every time one of us spoke, it felt wrong, like our voices didn't belong there. I kept glancing over my shoulder into the dark where the firelight didn't reach. It felt like something was watching us. I hadn't said it out loud, but the thought had been gnawing at me all day. The quiet was doing something to me, messing with my head. It was too perfect, too still. We moved on. Eric, Megan, and Rachel were a few steps ahead, moving slowly. None of us wanted to admit it, but the sense of dread was growing stronger. The silence wasn't just eerie anymore. It was starting to feel dangerous. The quiet seemed to wrap tighter around us every minute, suffocating every sound before it even had a chance. Megan slowed, looking around, her face tense. "You guys hear that?" she asked, her voice sounding dull, as if it too was being swallowed by the air. I stopped in my tracks, straining to listen. "Hear what?" For a split second, I thought I heard it too. A snap, maybe a twig breaking in the distance. The kind of sound that should have been impossible in this dead zone. But then, just as quickly, the forest went silent again. We stood still, waiting, listening. Megan's eyes darted around, scanning the trees. "I swear I heard something like normal noise." Eric glanced back at us, confused. "Maybe it's just, I don't know, an echo. Maybe things are just weird here." He kept moving, but I could see the doubt creeping into his eyes. A few minutes later, something strange happened. We passed through a small clearing. It wasn't much, just a patch of ground where the trees parted slightly and sunlight bled through. The air here felt different, lighter almost. Rachel and I exchanged glances, noticing the shift. Then, as I took another step, I heard it. My own footsteps. For the first time in hours, the crunch of my boots on the ground actually sounded like sound. Real sound. Megan's eyes widened, and she looked down at her feet, stomping lightly. "You heard that, right?" she whispered. Eric stopped and turned around, confused. "What are you talking about?" I tried it too, stomping harder this time. The noise was faint, but it was there. A crack, like someone snapping their fingers in a room too big to echo. It wasn't much, but after so much silence, it was deafening. I hit my water bottle against the rock for good measure. The clang just barely audible, but sharp, piercing through the heavy quiet. We all stood still, looking at each other, almost hopeful. But then the silence crashed back. The moment passed like a window slamming shut, and everything went quiet again. Eric smiled weakly, trying to act like nothing was wrong. "Just a weird spot," he muttered, picking up the pace. Oh, I wasn't so sure. There was something off about that clearing. For a second, we had real sound. But the silence kept pressing harder as we walked. There were no more sounds, no more fleeting moments of relief. Megan and I exchanged uneasy glances as we moved through the trees, both of us clearly remembering what we had heard. However, neither of us wanted to say it aloud. It wasn't an echo. Something had let the sound through, but we couldn't explain it. By the time we made camp that night, the silence was crushing again. We sat around the fire, our bodies hunched, every movement feeling more labor than the last. The fire crackled softly, but even that sound felt faint, like it didn't belong there, like it was being muted. A little later, I noticed Megan had gone quiet, her eyes locked on something just beyond the firelight. Her body was tense, like she was ready to run. "What is it?" I asked, my voice too loud, too sharp in the silence. She blinked, shook her head. I thought I saw something over there." She pointed towards the trees, where the shadows flickered in the firelight. Eric laughed, but it sounded forced. "Probably just your imagination. It's dark, the fire's casting shadows. It's easy to see things that aren't there." But I could tell Megan wasn't convinced. And honestly, neither was I. I followed her gaze, staring into the dark. But there was nothing. Just trees and shadows, stretching endlessly into the night. "It's nothing," Megan said finally, shaking her head. But her voice was tight, and she kept glancing towards the tree line, like she expected to see something move again. I knew that feeling. The longer we sat there, the stronger it got. That feeling that we weren't alone. When we finally crawled into our tents, the silence felt even heavier. I lay there, staring up at the fabric, straining to hear anything. A breeze, a bird, even the sound of my own breathing. But there was nothing. We set out early the next morning, but the moment we stepped away from camp, I felt it. The silence had deepened, worse than the day before. At first, I thought maybe my ears were clogged or something. But no. The air itself was thick, heavy. It pressed in on me like a blanket I couldn't shake off. Rachel broke the silence. "Is anyone else having trouble, I don't know, breathing?" I didn't answer right away. I didn't want to acknowledge it, but she was right. Even my breaths felt shallow, like the air wasn't properly reaching my lungs. When I tried to speak, it felt like my voice was fighting to break through something dense, like the air itself was absorbing the sound. Eric denied it, though he didn't sound convinced. He was a few steps ahead, leading the way, but there was a tension in his shoulders that hadn't been there before. We kept moving, but it was getting harder. The silence wasn't just around us anymore. It was in us, pressing down on our lungs, muffling our voices, dulling our thoughts. Every sound we made, even just stepping on the ground, was swallowed up almost instantly. I stopped for a second, taking a deep breath. Maybe we should turn back. Eric shot me a look, his eyes narrowed. We've come this far. We're close to the summit. Let's just finish the hike, all right? Rachel didn't say anything, but I could see the unease on her face. I felt it too, but we kept going. What else could we do? The further we went, the worse it got. The silence was spreading, following us, maybe even growing. Any noise we made, Eric shouting ahead to check the path, me stomping my boots on purpose, was swallowed up so fast it felt unnatural. There wasn't even an echo. Nothing bounced back. The sound just died. Rachel tried talking, making small conversation to break the tension, but her words felt distant, like she was talking through a thick wall of glass. Everything we said was muffled. It felt like we weren't even there anymore, like the forest was swallowing us whole. The more we hiked, the more dread crept in. It wasn't just the quiet. It was something about the way the air felt. It was suffocating, and I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. We stopped for a break, setting our packs down under the trees. That's when Megan froze, her eyes locked onto something in the distance. "I saw it again," she whispered, her voice shaking. "What?" Eric asked, looking around. She pointed toward the trees, her face pale. "Something moved." I followed her gaze, scanning the tree line. Nothing, just shadows and the faint rustle of branches. "There," she said again, her hand trembling. I didn't want to look, but I couldn't help myself. That's when I saw it. A shape, elongated, dark, moving between the trees, quick and silent. It slipped out of sight before I could get a clear view, but it was enough. My heart started racing. "We need to leave." Rachel opened her mouth to say something, but no sound came out. Her lips moved, but there was nothing. Panic flashed in her eyes as she looked at me, waving frantically to get our attention. I could barely breathe. It was like the forest had taken not just the sound, but the air too. Eric was standing still now, his eyes wide. "I think I see it." I nodded. We all had. We made our way to where we had camped last, tracking back towards our starting point. That night, at camp, the fire crackled mutely. The flames danced, but the sound was barely a whisper, barely a flicker against the overwhelming stillness. We sat, huddled together, no one saying a word. What was the point? We couldn't hear each other anyway. Megan kept looking over her shoulder, and I didn't blame her. I could feel it too. Something was out there, lurking, waiting, watching. I leaned forward, keeping my voice low. "We need to go now. It hasn't attacked us, but we don't know what it wants. We need to leave." Eric didn't respond at first, just staring into the flames like he was in a trance. Finally, he shook his head. "We can't. Not in the dark. We wouldn't make it out." He was right, but staying here felt worse. I glanced at Rachel, her face pale and drawn, and I knew she felt the same. But the silence, it was so heavy, so complete, that we couldn't even talk about it properly. It was crushing us. The fire kept burning, but it gave off no heat or sound. We were alone with our fears, suffocating under the weight of the silence. And out there, beyond the flickering light, something was waiting. That night, lying in my tent, I didn't sleep. I couldn't. The silence had become unbearable, pressing in on my ears and my chest. It wasn't just the absence of sound anymore. It was like the world had stopped moving, like even time itself had slowed down. But worse than the silence was the feeling that we weren't alone. I kept staring into the darkness, sure that at any moment, I'd see that shape again, slipping through the trees, watching us. I could feel it. It was out there, waiting for something. I woke up before dawn, though woke up doesn't feel like the right word, since I never really slept. When I finally unzipped my tent, the cold morning air hit me, but even that felt wrong. Too still, too quiet. I glanced over at Rachel and Eric's tents. Then my eyes landed on Megan's empty sleeping bag. At first, I didn't process it. It wasn't until I stood up and walked over that I noticed the rest of her gear was still there. Her boots, her pack, everything. I called her name, but my voice felt muted, barely breaking the thick air. No answer. Rachel? I shouted louder this time, though it still felt like I was yelling underwater. Rachel stumbled out of her tent, rubbing her eyes. What's going on? It's Megan, I said, my voice tight. She's gone. Within minutes, we were all on our feet, scanning the area. But there was nothing. No sign of her leaving. Her boots were still next to her tent, her bag untouched. No footprints, no broken branches, no sign of a struggle. Just silence. Rachel started pacing, running her hands through her hair, her breath coming faster. Where did she go? She wouldn't just leave like that. Eric was standing still, his face pale. Maybe she went to the woods to... I don't know. Maybe she got up in the night and wandered off. I shook my head. Without her boots, and she would have said something. We would have heard. But that was the problem, wasn't it? In this forest, you couldn't hear anything. Not the wind, not the birds, and certainly not someone vanishing in the middle of the night. We searched for hours, calling her name, but our voices felt like they were swallowed whole, barely carrying past the trees. We walked in circles around the camp, looking for any sign of her. Nothing. It was like she had been wiped away, erased from the world without a trace. The panic hit Rachel first. She was pacing again, tears welling in her eyes. I could see her hands shaking, her breath coming in short bursts. She was barely holding it together. Eric tried to calm her down, but I could hear the tremor in his voice too. We just need to stay focused. I didn't say anything. I was trying to think, trying to figure out what to do. But we couldn't stay here. Not after last night. That's when I saw it. At first, I thought it was a shadow. Just another trick of the firelight flickering through the trees. But as I stared, I realized it was moving. Not swaying like a tree in the wind. Moving. A tall, grotesque figure just beyond the edge of our camp. Eric, I whispered, barely able to form the words. Do you see that? He followed my gaze, and I heard him suck in a breath. What the hell? It was just standing there, still as death, watching us. Its body was twisted. Despite its size, it made no sound. Not a whisper, not a rustle of leaves. Just silence. Rachel turned, her face going pale. Oh my God. The creature didn't move, didn't step closer. It just watched. Eric panicked, grabbed a rock from the ground and hurled it at the thing. But when the rock hit it, there was no sound, no impact, no noise. Just the sight of it falling to the ground as if it had never been thrown at all. The silence swallowed everything. My chest tightened. The thing didn't flinch, didn't react. It just stood there, shrouded in shadow, the dark swallowing its features. And then, just as suddenly as it had appeared, it turned and slipped back into the trees, disappearing into the dark. We stood there, frozen, none of us speaking. What was the point? There were no words, just the weight of the silence, heavier now than it had ever been. It pressed in on us, squeezing the breath from our lungs, wrapping itself around our throats. Rachel was trembling, her eyes locked on the spot where the creature had vanished. We have to go, now. Eric didn't argue this time, neither did I. We moved to the tree line, ready to follow the trail back. I see something, I muttered, and both of them turned to look. I stepped closer, and that's when I saw it. A jacket. Megan's jacket. It looked like it was discarded on a dried up log, but the sleeves were attached when I pulled on it. I yanked it up, and the log snapped with a sound that never came. That's when I saw that it wasn't wood, but the dried up remains of Megan. She was sucked dry from all her moisture and more. Drained wouldn't come close to describing it. How that happened in the span of hours was beyond me. Rachel's breath hitched and she stumbled forward, her hands shaking as she reached down to pick it up. It was heavy, soaked with something dark and sticky. Rachel backed away, her hands trembling. No, 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 no. Eric grabbed her by the shoulders, shaking her gently. We have to go, Rachel. Megan's gone. We can't stay here. You saw that thing. It's still out there. We'll die if we don't leave, now. Rachel's face crumpled and she nodded, her eyes wide and glazed over. Okay, okay. We packed up in silence, or what passed for packing when every movement felt sluggish, like the air itself was resisting us. I couldn't get the image of Megan's jacket out of my head. She was dead, and we had to get out before the same thing happened to us. Eric led the way, moving faster now, but it felt like we were fighting the forest. Every step was harder than the last, like the ground was sucking us in. My lungs burned, struggling to take in the air that didn't seem to exist, and the silence was unbearable. I tried to keep up, but my legs felt like they were moving through molasses. Rachel was ahead of me, her eyes wide, her breathing erratic, but at least she was moving. I tried to call out to them, to tell them that we needed to move faster, but the sound died in my throat before it even reached my lips. We started running, or at least we tried. It didn't feel like running, more like moving through a bad dream. Everything disoriented, like the world was working against us. Every step felt like it took twice the effort, like the ground was pulling us back with every movement. My lungs were on fire, my legs shaking with exhaustion, but I pushed forward, not daring to look back. Then, I stumbled. My foot caught on something, maybe a root, maybe a rock, and I hit the ground hard. No sound, not even the thud of my body hitting the earth. It was like the world itself had erased the noise before it could happen. I tried to push myself up, but it felt like the silence was pulling me down, suffocating me. I called out for Eric, for Rachel, but nothing came. The silence swallowed my voice whole. And then I looked up. There was something in the trees just ahead of me. A tall and grotesque shadow watching me from the edge of the clearing. The creature had been following us, watching us struggle, waiting for the right moment. I tried to scream, but nothing came out. My breath caught in my throat, and I could feel my body being pulled down into the earth, into the suffocating void. I reached out, but Eric and Rachel were already too far ahead, the forest closing in around them. Eric and Rachel didn't notice I'd fallen behind until it was too late. The silence engulfed me completely, swallowing me whole. I wasn't gone, not completely. I could still see them, hear the faint whispers of their panicked breaths. I watched as they ran, stumbling through the trees, their movements slow and disjointed. They didn't know where they were going. The forest had twisted itself around them, distorting their path. And then they reached the clearing. They stumbled into the open space, gasping for air. But it didn't matter. The silence was there too, thick and suffocating, pressing down on them. It was so intense now that it became physically painful. I could see it in their faces, how they winced with every step and breath. And then the creature stepped into view. It was taller than I remember, its body twisted and unnatural, its limbs long and thin, like shadows come to life. It didn't need to move aggressively or chase them. Silence was its weapon, its way of crushing them without lifting a finger. Eric tried to scream, tried to make some noise, but his voice was gone before it left his mouth. Rachel fell to her knees, clutching her head, her face twisted in agony. The creature just stood there, watching, letting the silence do its work. Eric and Rachel made a desperate attempt to run, but it was hopeless. The silence twisted everything, their senses and perception of time. They were moving in slow motion, stumbling through the forest that felt endless now. They didn't know if they were moving in the right direction. Maybe they weren't moving at all. I wanted to scream, to tell them to stop, to tell them to fight back. But I was gone. The silence had taken me too. All I could do was watch, trapped in the void, as they ran into the endless, suffocating silence. I couldn't bear to be left behind, so I heaved with all my might and got one knee under me. A few heavy breaths later and I got my other foot perched, and with the effort of an Olympic lifter, I performed the hardest squat of my life to stand. All the while, the creature was just watching at the edge of the tree line. I stumbled, slowly at first, and picked up to the fastest pace I could, which wasn't much, determined to catch up to Eric and Rachel. The light was starting to bleed through the trees. Dawn. The pale glow of the morning should have been a relief, but the silence was suffocating, heavier than ever. Every breath I took felt like it was being stolen from me. Up ahead, I saw Eric and Rachel barely moving, each step like they were wading through thick mud. The trees were thinning out, but it didn't matter. The silence was inside us now, a crushing weight that no amount of daylight could lift. The air felt thick in my throat, smothering my screams before it could escape. It didn't matter how close the road was. It felt like the forest itself was fighting to hold us back. Then, Rachel collapsed. 1 second she was walking, the next she hit the ground, face down in the dirt. No sound, not even the thud of her body hitting the earth. Her face looked gaunt, like she hadn't eaten in days. Eric stopped, gasping, and bent down to pull her up. But I could see it in his face. He was losing it. His hands were shaking, his breath shallow and desperate. He tried to lift her, but the silence seemed to cling to him, weighing him down, making every movement harder than it should be. "We're not going to make it," I heard myself think. The silence wasn't letting go. Eric crouched over Rachel, pulling her limp body toward him, trying to get her to her feet. I staggered over, my legs burning, barely able to hold myself up. "We have to get her up," I gasped, though I couldn't hear my own words. No sound. He looked up at me, panic flashing in his eyes. I can't." His voice came out like a whisper, even though I knew he was shouting. He tugged on her arm again, but it was like pulling against concrete. Rachel wasn't moving. For a second, I thought he was going to leave her. I thought maybe we'd have to make the choice, leaving Rachel behind or risk being swallowed by the silence ourselves. But then something flickered in Eric's eyes. Determination, or maybe just desperation. Either way, he wasn't going to give up. He grabbed Rachel by the shoulders, and I moved to help him. We heaved her up, but her body was heavy, too heavy. It was like the silence had wrapped itself around her, pulling her down into the earth. For every inch we lifted her, it felt like the forest pulled her back. I glanced behind me, expecting to see the creature, but the shadow was gone. That was almost worse. I couldn't see it, but I could feel it, closing in, pressing in on us from all sides, like the silence itself was alive, ready to crush us at any moment. Eric was still pulling Rachel along, her body limp, barely able to stand. I wasn't far behind, but my legs felt like they were made of lead. The creature was close. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there, hidden just beyond the edges of my vision, watching us stumble through the trees like prey. Rachel fell, collapsing to her knees with a thud that made no sound. Eric dropped beside her, his face contorted in panic, trying to lift her back up. But she was barely responsive, her eyes half closed, her breath shallow and quick. "We have to keep moving," Eric muttered, his voice shaking. He was trying to pull her to her feet, but she was too heavy. It felt like the air itself was pulling her down. I tried to think back to times when my body felt light, without the oppressive silence weighing down on me, trying to mentally motivate myself. We'd been in this nightmare so long, I struggled to think of a time when things were normal. Suddenly, a thought flashed through my mind of my most recent memory of clarity. The clearing, the one from the other day, where the silence had broken, just for a second. It had been brief, barely noticeable at the time, but now it felt like our only hope. Sound had returned there, even if only for a moment. I scanned the area, my eyes darting through the trees. And then I saw it. The route leading to the same clearing, just ahead, highlighted by the rays of light penetrating the canopy of branches. It wasn't far, just past the cluster of trees. "Eric," I hissed, my voice barely audible. "The clearing, it's up ahead. We have to go there." Eric looked up, confused and frantic. "What are you talking about? We need to get away, not further in." But I didn't have time to explain. I grabbed Rachel's other arm, and we half-dragged, half-carried her toward the clearing. The creature was closing in. I could feel it, the silence growing denser with every step. My chest felt tight, my head pounding from the pressure. But I pushed forward. We didn't have a choice. We broke through the trees, into the clearing. And for a split second, just like before, I heard it. The faintest sound. My boots crunching against the dirt. Rachel's ragged breaths, too loud in the oppressive quiet. The silence was weaker here. Eric was panting, his eyes wild with fear. "What do we do? We can't stay here." I placed Rachel down, using this place to let her rest. And as I lowered her, I heard a loud rattling as she hit the ground. I looked down at the metal canister on Rachel's back, my hands trembling as I pulled it off. The water bottle, heavy and metallic. I didn't know if it would work, but we were out of options. I slammed it against the ground. The clang rang out, sharp and clear, cutting through the quiet like a knife. It was faint, but it was real. Sound. For a moment, everything stilled. Even the oppressive silence seemed to recoil, like it couldn't fully suppress the noise. "Do it again," Eric gasped, pulling out a metal pot from his pack. He slammed it against his water bottle, creating an echoing metallic clang. Again, the sound cut through, just barely, but it was there. The air around us shuddered, like the silence itself was retreating, and I felt the pressure on my chest ease slightly. The creature, it had been closing in, I could feel it, but now it was held back. I could almost sense it, lurking just beyond the edge of the clearing, waiting for the sound to fade. "We need more noise," I muttered, my voice hoarse. I grabbed a rock and threw it against the nearby tree. It made a dull thud, but it was something. Eric followed suit, banging on the tree with whatever he could find, creating an almost rhythmic clatter. Each sound we made seemed to push the silence back just a little further. Rachel, barely conscious, stirred, her eyes fluttering open. What are you doing?" she whispered. "We're making noise," I said, my voice trembling. "It's the only way to keep it back." The silence wasn't gone, but we had weakened it. The creature was still out there, watching, waiting for the moment the noise stopped. But as long as we kept hitting, kept slamming rocks and metal together, we were holding it at bay. "Move," I yelled, my voice cracking, but audible this time. "We have to get to the road, now." Eric and I hauled Rachel to her feet, staggering out of the clearing. I didn't dare look back. We kept moving, hitting rocks against trees as we went. The sounds were faint but steady, keeping the silence at bay just long enough. It was a long journey, made especially hard by the constant need to make sound. But eventually, we broke through. The moment we stepped out onto the road, it was like a veil had been lifted. The silence shattered. All at once, sound came rushing back in. The wind in the trees, the distant chirping of birds, our own ragged breaths. It hit us like a wave, disorienting and overwhelming. But it was real. We collapsed onto the asphalt, gasping for air, feeling the solid ground beneath us. The weight of the silence was gone, lifted. I turned to look back at the tree line, half expecting the creature to follow. But there was nothing. No shadows, no movement, just the forest, still and quiet. But not like before, not that crushing, deadly quiet. Rachel was lying beside me, breathing heavily, her face pale but alive. Eric sat behind her, his hands shaking, his eyes still wide with the adrenaline of the escape. "We made it," he muttered, his voice hoarse. "We made it out." I nodded, but the sense of dread didn't fully lift even as I stared at the trees. We had escaped, but the forest, the silence, was still there, waiting, lurking just beyond the edge.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde. Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.